Thank you, Brady. I invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, we'll start with a text there in just a moment. Matthew chapter 13. It's good to be together today. It's a beautiful day as we worship our God, and we're grateful for the opportunity to come together today and to demonstrate our gratitude to God, our worship to Him. Listening is a character trait that is very important in all relationships. Whether you're talking about personal relationships or even in our relationship with God, the manner in which we listen to someone demonstrates how we value them, demonstrates whether we respect them or not. And that is absolutely true in terms of our relationship with God as well. Now, you may say, well, we're not in a position that we can directly hear the voice of God. That's correct. We don't live in an age now in which God continues to speak. He has spoken in the past. He speaks to us now through His Word that was revealed. However, it is important for us to recognize that we need to be good listeners to His Word. And I would ask the question this morning, how well do you listen? The Bible teaches that there are different types of listeners. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus will offer an explanation of why He teaches to the people in parables. And if you'd read with me in Matthew chapter 13, verses 13 through 15, we'll see that one category of listeners are those that are hard of hearing. And we're not talking about those that may need a hearing aid or something in a material sense. We're talking about those that either come to the Word of God with preconceived ideas, those that just want things a certain way, and so they're not going to really seek to understand. And oddly enough, that is part of the explanation that Jesus will offer as to why He spoke in parables. He recognized that there would be those that would not understand because they wouldn't put in the effort to understand. Listen to what He says in Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 13. It says, "Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, and their ears hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them." The problem was not inability to be able to understand. There have been those in the religious world that have argued that, you know, we can't understand unless God miraculously empowers us to. No, the power rests in the message itself. The challenge is, what kind of listener we're going to be? Are we going to be hard of hearing? Or instead, are we going to seek to understand and listen carefully? In a similar way, over in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 5, if you notice with me, there the idea is a little bit different, but very similar. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11. Notice the Hebrew writer is talking to them about some pretty deep things. He'll go back and make reference to Melchizedek, the priest in the days of Abraham. And he'll talk about some relationships and some similarities between Melchizedek and Jesus. But he recognizes, you know, my readers are going to understand certain things, but others, they're not going to be able to. Read with me in verse 11. It says, "Of whom," that is Melchizedek, "we have much to say and hard to explain," listen, "since you have become dull of hearing." Now, normally, the idea of dull of hearing might go in many different directions, or we might think of that in many different ways. In the context, I think it is clearly describing their immaturity. He will challenge them throughout the book to grow, not just stay with elementary principles, not just stay with the milk of the Word, but rather to go on to solid food. And we can become that way. We can become dull of hearing if we don't continually train ourselves in the message of God's Word. If we don't mature in the message of God's Word, we may hear it in its Maybe it sounds familiar, but it doesn't register with us in the right way. It's not something that is meaningful in our lives. We can be hearers that are dull of hearing. But then there are also those that are described as having itching ears. Look up here over in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. It is odd the times that we live in. However, I suspect it's always been that way to some extent. And what I mean by that is we live in a time in which if you and I choose within our heart to believe something, I don't care how unusual, how bizarre it may be, how contrary it is to the revealed Word of God, you can find someone that will argue and defend and proclaim and pronounce that belief, that practice. They'll justify it. They'll rationalize it away. They'll try to teach that it is acceptable before God, no matter what it may be. 2 Timothy chapter 4, the Apostle Paul to Timothy talks to him about times such as this. And you'll notice he'll tell us beginning verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Now, that figure of speech of itching ears, you know, a dog will get fleas or something and scratch at its ear. I think here it's just sort of a way of expressing that idea of I'm looking for what I can hear. I'm looking for what I want to hear. And who's going to say that? And I want to tell you that as the apostle warns here that would be a problem, it is a problem. And we need to make certain that when we approach the Word of God, we don't come to it going, okay, here's what I want to hear. Am I going to listen to this and ignore that? Or instead, am I going to be a good listener to see what God would teach me? Maybe there are things in my life that I don't want to hear, but I need to hear them, because they will help to change my life. They'll help me to be pleasing to God. But I can't be a listener that has itching ears and approaches God's Word in that way. But then, we also see that Scripture will describe that there are listeners that have good and noble hearts. Listeners who approach the Word of God with a readiness to obey it. Is that the kind of listener that I am? Is that the kind of listener that you are? I hope so. I'd like us to notice in one of the parables that is also in Matthew chapter 13, but is also here in Luke chapter 8 and verse 15, when Jesus will offer the explanation, this parable of the sower, and it describes the different types of soil. That's describing hearts. That's describing attitudes towards which, or with which they listen to this word that is sown. But notice with me especially, Luke chapter 8, verse 15. We're going to come back to this in a few minutes and look at it from a little bit different angle. But I want you to notice here in Luke chapter 8, verse 15, it says, but the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. I can listen with either itching ears, with dull hearing, hard of hearing, or I can listen with a good and noble heart. And what that means here, as in the parable, that seed that wasn't hindered by thorns, that wasn't hindered by stony ground, it allowed the seed to take root. It allowed the seed to grow and to bear fruit. Over in Acts chapter 17, Acts chapter 17, there is an account of some people that, you know, history doesn't tell us an awful lot about these other than these people, other than what is recorded here in Acts chapter 17, verse 11. And I'll tell you, if we talked Wednesday night about what legacy we'll leave and what people may know about us in the ages to come, if the Lord allows the world to stand, if the only thing that could be known about Olson Park in the generations to come would be the things that are recorded here in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, that'd be the kind of thing, that'd be the kind of legacy to leave. Because notice what it says about these people in the city of Berea. It says in verse 11, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica. You know, some translations will put it noble-minded. And I think the idea appears to be that you're not just thinking about the lowest kinds of things. You're thinking about that which is honorable. These were more fair-minded or more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica. Well, what did they do? How did they demonstrate that nobility or that fair-mindedness? In that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. I think it is so unfortunate that the age in which we live in now will so often see a willingness to carefully examine the word of God as just a demonstration of legalism. And what they'll mean by that is they imagine that somehow if you're too careful in looking at the word of God, that you're trying to merit your salvation and your standing before God. You think that if you keep enough rules that somehow you've earned your salvation. And I'll tell you what, nothing could be further from the truth. The soul who recognizes the love that God has shown for us, the soul who recognizes that as a duty in response to that grace that has been shown to us, the soul that would want to do everything that our master demands, that's not one that's trying to earn anything. It's one that's trying to show love. That's one that's trying to show reverence. But in our context, that's a good listener. That's one that listens to what God tells us about how we ought to live. We don't approach it with these other kinds of ideas, with itching ears. We approach it with readiness. When I hear it, when I understand it, I'm going to do it, and I want to apply it into my life. What kind of listener am I? What kind of listener are you? Now, I want us to think for a few moments about why this is so important. And I want us to just look at a few things that Scripture teaches, because we're not talking about a trivial kind of thing. We're talking about something that is important in terms of our relationship with God. Just as I mentioned at the beginning, you know, when relationships break down, it's not because people have just been listening too good. It's because people stop listening. They stop communicating. They get to that point where, I'm not going to listen to you anymore. I'm going to interrupt you. I'm not going to listen to you anymore. I know already what you're thinking when you can't know what's in the heart of someone else unless you take the time, close your own mouth, and to listen to what they have to say. So it is with God. Why is it important for us to listen carefully to the revealed word of God? Let's notice just a few things. Go to Matthew chapter 13 once again, and let's pick up where we left off a few moments ago. Matthew chapter 13, remember in this explanation of why he spoke to the people in parables, he had described the fact that many were hard of hearing. He described the fact that they had closed their ears and eyes so that they weren't understanding. But then I want you to notice what he goes on to say to his disciples. And if we are his disciples, this is a reason we need to be good listeners because of some things that are said here. Verse 16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. We need to be good listeners in order to be considered blessed by our God. We need to be good listeners in order to be able to really appreciate and take advantage of these things. Notice the way that it's put. There have been those in the past that have longed to see what you and I can see so readily within the Word of God if we'll just be good listeners, if we'll just accept what our Lord has revealed to us. We need to be good listeners in order to have saving faith. Go with me to Romans chapter 1 for a moment. Romans chapter 1. We live in an age in which, unfortunately, there is a great deal of confusion as it pertains to the Holy Spirit. In our congregations, perhaps we don't clarify this enough for people. We don't help them to understand enough. Because of some error that has been taught in the past, much of it coming out of the Reformation, some of it having to do with charismatic ideas, many would argue that, well, the way in which one comes to faith is if the Holy Spirit miraculously puts faith in them. That idea that would argue that, you know, you can't do good unless the Holy Spirit makes you do good relies upon that idea. But I think in order to hold that conclusion, you have to ignore some clear statements in Scripture. What is the source of faith? Is it some miraculous empowerment from the Holy Spirit? Or is it the Word of God? In Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, Paul says this, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Paul says the gospel, this revealed message of salvation in Jesus Christ, that we now have in the form of that revelation that exists in the New Testament, that is the power of God and the salvation. Now, as we think about that, I mentioned these ideas about the Holy Spirit. Those that would say, well, the Holy Spirit gives you faith, that takes the message of the gospel out of the picture. Because if the Holy Spirit just puts it into my heart, and it's not something like in the parable of the sower, I've got to accept with the right disposition, then really the word would become insignificant. But the word is not insignificant. I must be a good listener in order to attain saving faith. Look over in Romans chapter 10, and I'd like us to notice where this is spelled out so clearly. It is not that I am incapable of doing good or incapable of even accepting the message unless the Holy Spirit comes upon me. Now, let me just take a moment out here and comment on that, because maybe you don't encounter many folks that would argue that sort of strict Calvinistic concept of the Holy Spirit, that, well, you're depraved, and so the Holy Spirit's got to even make you capable of belief. Probably what you encounter is an attitude that would say, well, you know, I can't do these things unless the Holy Spirit helps me. Now, if what one means by that is that the Holy Spirit, who revealed the message of the gospel, the Holy Spirit who inspired the written word, dwells in us in that manner in which that word dwells in us. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. We are led by the Spirit when we set our minds on the things of the Spirit. Now, if that's what they mean, okay. But I'm afraid far too often, that's not what people mean. What people mean is, once again, that the Holy Spirit has to somehow give us something in addition to the word to be able to grow. Somehow has to infuse something within us. And sadly, we're even hearing some of our own brethren that are moving in that direction, and I think they don't often recognize what they're coming out of, because it is a Calvinistic argument that sets the stage for that very attitude. What does the Word of God say? Romans chapter 10, read with me beginning in verse 14. And notice with me carefully, not only what this says about where faith comes from, but the way in which that can work within us. Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 14. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, verse 17 is an important text. because it defines for us very clearly how you and I can come to faith. You know, in ages past, there used to be those that actually held so firmly to this Calvinistic view that they would argue that, you know, you can hear the message, but unless you feel some kind of empowerment, you haven't really you really haven't been chosen of the elect. And so they would actually seek to, as they would call it, pray through, so that somehow that message would get through to God and He would choose to save us, choose to make you of the elect, and you'd feel something. Does this text describe anything like that? It describes hearing and accepting a message. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So why is it important to be a good listener? Because, say, faith comes from hearing. But do you remember in the text that we looked at a few moments ago? Go back to Luke chapter 8 and verse 15. In this explanation of the parable of the sower, we notice that it describes there the good and honest, or the good and noble heart. Do you remember one of the things that it says will come when that good and honest heart hears and understands? Listen, but the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. What does it mean to bear fruit? Go over to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And let's notice how Paul will speak of fruit in Colossians chapter 1 and in verse 6. As he describes the effect of the gospel upon them, he says that this gospel, which has come to you as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit as it is also among you, since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. Is fruit simply making other Christians? Well, that certainly is one aspect of bearing fruit. But I think we must see it as broader than that, in the fact that here, as Paul speaks to those in Colossae, he's talking about the impact that this gospel had had upon their lives. It had changed their beliefs. It had changed their attitudes. It had changed their actions. It had changed their mindset. It had changed their relationships. The gospel bears fruit. But it's only going to bear fruit, remember, as we notice there in Luke chapter 8 and verse 15, if we hear it with a good and noble or honest heart. So why is it important to be a good listener? Because we hope to bear fruit in our life. If we hope to be what God would have us to, we need to listen to what He says. It's also important to be a good listener in order to avoid apostasy. Apostasy is a term that actually is brought from the Greek language into English, and it refers essentially to turning away. And as we think about that, if there is such a thing as truth, there is such a thing as a revealed message from God's Word that grants to us the power of salvation, then what is going to happen if, rather than listening to that, I turn and I start listening to something else? You know, in the lesson already this morning, I've mentioned a couple of things by way of warning. I would say, well, this is not what's taught in the Word of God. This is what is taught in the Word of God. And part of what I'm attempting to do with that is to try to help each of us think, here is what I need to follow. Here is what I need to reject. Now, what happens if I'm not a good listener? Well, if I'm not listening carefully, and I'm not just talking about listening to me as a preacher, I'm talking about listening to God's Word. If I'm not listening to God's Word carefully, then I might very well turn into that which is wrong. Read with me in Hebrews chapter 2, beginning of verse 1, and we'll go down to verse 3. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard Him? Notice,
Here he begins by talking about not drifting away from what we have heard. If I'm not listening carefully enough to God's word to even know, here's what he said, he hasn't said this, how am I going to know when I've drifted away and I've accepted something that, even if I didn't realize it, my itching ears wanted to hear that. Or even if I didn't realize it, this is not something that is taught in the Word of God. You know, I grin a little bit right now, not because of the concept of apostasy, but you probably, like me, have seen a number of times on television or movies in which people will say some idea or some thought, say, yeah, that's taught in the Bible, and it's not taught anywhere in the Bible. Maybe it's taught in terms of tradition. Maybe it's taught in terms of just some saying or some popular idea. But it's not taught in the Bible. We've got to be good listeners so we don't find ourselves turning away. We also need to be good listeners in order to avoid rejection. Look at me over in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. In the context of sending out the 12 to teach, there's a warning that's given. And I want us to look after this at a text in Acts 13 where we kind of see some of this kind of thing happening, not just in the limited commission of the apostles, but in the broader commission unto all the world. But notice when he sends the 12 out, he says this in verse 14 and 15. And whoever will not receive you nor hear your words when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Now, I want you to think about the gravity of that for a moment. These cities, whether they realized it or not, the apostles of Jesus Christ came to them, bringing them the message of salvation in Christ as the Messiah. And yet Jesus here foretells that some are not going to receive that. Now, what is shocking about this and what I want you to think about in terms of the seriousness of it is they rejected this opportunity that was given to them. Was there another chance for them to accept it? Well, perhaps there might have been, but there's never a guarantee of that. Over in Acts chapter 17, we see a similar kind of situation. Now, as the gospel is going forth in Acts chapter 13, and we'll see that there are those as well that now, as salvation in Jesus Christ is being spread throughout all of the world, some accept it, some reject it. But let's notice what our text says here. Begin in verse 44, go down to verse 49. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and contradicting and blaspheming. They opposed the things spoken by Paul. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you, but since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. Now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. Now, we've talked before, and we talk sometimes as we look at this wording. This is not speaking of a limited kind of atonement or some unconditional kind of election. They either accepted or rejected it, and as a result of that, they were either appointed or rejected for eternal life. Now, with that said, both of these texts that we looked at, both of them describe the idea of the response of those who heard the message. Either they accepted it or rejected it. But I want you to think about another aspect of that as well. Because when they did, as in the case there in Matthew chapter 10, when they did, as in the case here in Acts chapter 13, was there necessarily going to be another opportunity in my life, in your life? If we choose not to listen to the Word of God, there will come a point at which we are rejected. How sobering it is that, you know, as we're given opportunity to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're given opportunity to do what God has commanded us. How do we know that the opportunity we have now will ever be made available to us again? We don't. Our life could pass from us. The Lord could return. And so the last thing that I'd offer to you, why it is important for us to be good listeners, is in order to escape condemnation. Go to Matthew chapter 12 with me, and then the lesson will be yours. Matthew chapter 12, and let's read together verses 41 and 42. Matthew chapter 12, verses 41 and 42. Here, as Jesus is describing the reaction that some would have to his teaching, he'll put it this way. The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment. Now, likely what he's talking about is the fact that Jonah had gone and preached to Nineveh. And you'll remember that Nineveh, this pagan city, had accepted the teaching of Jonah and as a result repented. The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And indeed, a greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And indeed, a greater than Solomon is here. Now, directly, these words were spoken to the generation to which Jesus came and to which he spoke. But I challenge you to think that in a similar way, you and I have an opportunity in our lives to either listen to the message of God's word and to hear it and to understand it and to apply it to our lives, to allow it to bear fruit within us, as we notice there in Luke chapter 8. Or we can reject it. But in each of these, as it mentions both Nineveh and the Queen of the South, and then it applies it to the generation in which Jesus lived, he warns about judgment. He warns about condemnation. It is important that you and I are good listeners to God's word, because our salvation or our condemnation depend upon it. You're here this morning, you've never been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I urge you to be a good listener to the message of salvation in Jesus Christ. You need to put your faith in Jesus as the Son of God. You're not going to be able to merit your salvation. It's not possible. You can't, on the day of judgment, apologize enough. You can't do enough explanation to dismiss your behavior before God. The only path of salvation is found in the blood of Jesus Christ. Put your faith in him as the Son of God. Confess that faith before men initially and throughout your life. Repent of sin that separates you from God. And put on Christ in the waters of baptism. If as a child of God, maybe you realize as we've talked this morning, I'm not listening to the Lord as I ought to. I'm not bearing fruit in my life the way that I ought to. I don't have the right attitudes, the right kind of behavior. As your brothers and sisters in Christ, it would be an honor for us to put an arm around you, to encourage you, and to go to God in prayer on your behalf. If we can help you, won't you come while we stand and sing?